Welcome to Tremendous Talk. We got the industry tea and the jokes. Actors, directors, musicians, and more. You're listening to Tremendous Talk.
Hey guys, I'm Law.
And I'm Ash, and this is a Tremendous Talk podcast.
Each week, join us as we guide you through the realms of Hollywood and beyond while we speak to industry professionals in the spotlight.
So grab a boba tea and leave your shoes at the door. Welcome to Tremendous Talk!
Let's go, baby, and happy Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month!
Yeah!
I'm very excited to be here. We have a lot of really great guests that we're interviewing this month, and we'll be releasing them throughout the month and beyond. You know, we're excited. We have some really cool names, but let's talk about today's episode. This week on the episode, we have Lawrence Cao, a different Lawrence, maybe even a cooler Lawrence than the one that's already on this podcast.
I don't know, man. Give yourself some credit.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I mean, I'm going to have to ask him how he styles himself because he always looks cool as heck to me. But Lawrence can be found in quite a few places, such as your TV, your movie screen, on stage, and even in your favorite dance group.
Today, we're here to talk with Lawrence about his new feature film, Ba, and so much more, honestly. Ba is currently in the festival circuit around the globe. I think they just hit like Brazil and stuff. Gosh, we can't wait to talk to him about it. It's really like ethereal and like mental. I don't know, man. I want to get into the nitty-gritty of that.
It's very like family oriented and very grounded, and then there's like those supernatural elements just like kind of elevate everything to me. But before we get into that, you know, today we're chatting about the journey of falling in love with art and being involved with so many different facets of the entertainment industry and so much more.
Welcome to the Tremendous Talk podcast, Lawrence Cao.
What's up? Thank you so much for taking the time and welcome to the Tremendous Talk podcast. A little bit about us. You know, we love highlighting, you know, not only just Asian creators and talent and stuff, but like all POC, right? But specifically today, we want to talk about you, learn about you and your film Ba, obviously, which I know you're like trying to find distribution and stuff for that right now, right?
Yeah, you know, like we're just trying to get eyes on it. We're going through the festival circuit at the moment, but you know, it's been fun. We were just in Brazil last week, and it's just cool to see, you know, a film being watched by like an entirely different culture, you know.
Totally.
And it's just cool to see Portuguese subtitles, you know, when you're watching the movie. So
yeah,
so cool.
That's awesome. Did you have any pão de queijo, the cheese bread out there?
I did, but I only had it when I was in the airport. They were bomb. They were
so good, right? Like, what is that? It's like mochi cheese ball. Like, that's how I describe it to people.
Yeah, how do you get that texture?
I have no idea. Kind of in the spirit of that, we love getting like little quick facts about you with a speed round to start. And Ash is really great at running that.
Oh my gosh, I hate speed rounds, but
take it at the speed that you want to take it at. I promise you the questions aren't too hard.
I'm like DMV speed.
There you go.
Whenever me and my husband are at the DMV, we always think of Zootopia. So
yeah,
nothing as slow as that. So we're okay. First question. What is your favorite boba order?
You know, Taro boba.
Oh, see, that was easy. That was quick.
I don't get boba that much, but like if I do, like it's Taro.
Do you have a preferred beverage? If like, you know, when people go crazy for boba, are you like a coffee guy or like?
You know, I'm not really that much of a beverage dude.
I feel that pretty strongly, honestly. I'm like a strictly water drinker, so I'm there with you on that.
Maybe like an energy drink guy. Like I like Celsius.
Yeah, Celsius is good.
That gets me going. I think it's the marketing though, because once you pour it out, it looks like it's poison.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. It's like kind of opaque.
Yeah, like why am I putting this in my body and then I can't drink it when I pour it out in a cup?
I wonder how many things in a can are actually like that in the world.
Yeah, you don't want to investigate, right?
I poured out a monster once and I'm like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of gross things in cans, what's your favorite comfort food?
Fried chicken.
Oh, that's a good
Straight
answer.
Up fried chicken.
Great answer. What are you currently binge watching?
Baby reindeer.
Oh yeah, dude, I gotta get on that. Is it good?
Have to.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. Okay. We'll get more into that later. Oh.
Probably, it's one of the, I feel like it's one of the best things right now out there.
Amazing. It's on
Watch it.
Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix,
Yeah.
yeah. So
Yeah, there
good.
you go.
That's sick, dude. Shout out to the Netflix team. If you could put yourself inside the world of any show, which is kind of crazy because you've been in several shows that I would actually put myself into, what would it be?
Breaking Bad.
Oh, wow. I was
Ooh.
just in New Mexico this past weekend. That's
Oh
so cool.
yeah.
They have like
It's
stuff
so crazy.
from
Like, yeah, just being in New Mexico, like you can just be like, oh shoot, this is the set.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
the whole place.
You know what's
That's a
funny?
stressful place to live.
Feels different. I don't know. I'm from Vegas, so all we got is casinos.
That's cool too. There's culture in casinos. Are you
There's
ever?
culture in casinos. Our
Am I
people
what?
are at casinos, Ash.
What'd you say, Lawrence?
Are you from Vegas? Like, you grew up in Vegas?
Basically, yeah. I'm a little casino child, so
Nice.
yeah, it's all we know. Speaking of people, and I try to do these like weird tangents all the time. So speaking of people who go inside places and never see the sunlight, and I don't know, describe me a casino. What would your nerd cave be like? Would it be like more of a
Ooh.
casino, or would it be like Law's nerd cave with like a movie theater kind of situation?
I think my nerd cave would be like it would have a little bar on the side, but then it would be like a black box theater, like with props and stuff. Then you just
That's
go in and
cool.
then just do a little, I guess, do little mini performances or something. Like
Little
just,
space work.
yeah, a little space work, move
Yeah.
around, have a maybe
Oh.
a dance show, or I don't know, just like maybe with like movie posters. I don't know.
Wait, have a little drinky drink and get into some
Yeah.
Meisner? I'm about this.
Yeah.
Wait,
Like, have a
okay.
little drink, do some Shakespeare.
There you
This is
go.
amazing. Okay, to cap it off, this is our last question. But if you were to do, like, let's say you just want to fuck around and do Richard the Third with your friends, right? What's your drink of choice that you would have before doing Richard the
Performance.
Third?
Oh, specifically Richard III. Okay.
Specifically. Yeah, just some tequila. Just a shot of tequila. You know, see, that's an interesting question because like I don't, okay, I just like different kinds of alcohol do different things to me, and then I want it to be in a good, happy place.
Yeah.
Tequila makes everything good. Vodka too. If I do anything clear, I'm in the
You're in the clear.
I'm in the clear.
That's so great. I saw that you had like Guthrie experience and everything. And I don't know, man, like coming from a theater background, whenever I see people who actually, I don't know, it just made me so happy. And I can see it in your work too. Like you have such a strong theatrical background. And I don't know, like the way you embody your characters and the way it's like not just like heady, but I see it in like your fingertips, and I see it the way you look at people. I don't know, dude, like your theater background, it's showing.
There you
Thank
go.
you. That means a lot. I mean, I love theater so much. I feel like that's the place where you get the opportunity to really flex your muscles and like grow, you know? You're doing the same thing over and over again and just trying to make it different every night. Yeah.
That makes me happy. Wait,
So much.
Locke, can I steal the show really quick?
Yeah,
Yeah,
steal
go
it.
ahead.
Yeah, it's so f wait, okay, we gotta figure this out. Law one, law two. Am I
Oh, do you
law,
also go
are
by
you
law,
Jay?
Lawrence?
Some people call me Law.
Okay, gotcha.
I can be number two. You can be number one.
No. Not
There
today. You're number one.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
There you go.
I do want to know though, like, and speaking of growing and stuff, you started out. Okay, the father, what did I write down? The son of an accountant and a mailman. You were groomed to be a pediatrician. Your love for the arts started when your parents forced you to play musical instruments. Okay, dude, break it down for us. What was the musical instrument? Who
Yeah,
forced you to
what was
play?
that?
Like, tell us about it.
I just had to play piano. I mean, it's such a typical Asian American story growing up. But yeah, I was just like, I just had to play piano so much. I hated it. But I mean, now I love it. It's cool that, you know, it's cool to have that ability to just play an instrument. And so like I just my mom, it was my mom, she just kept making me do it.
Was music like a door opening to like more creative stuff, or did you like find something specific and you were just like, no, you know, F instruments, I want to dance, I want to do theater, like, or
You
was
know,
it a
like,
like
I
gateway?
don't know, like, I like art, like, I feel like my artistic sensibility didn't really like grow until I got older. I
Mm.
just never even thought that I would even venture down this path. It was just being forced to play an instrument. And then I just got interested in like I just got interested in doing like improv in high school. And after that, I think that's what opened the door, like just being on stage and just being whoever I wanted to be. Cause I feel like I was a shy kid growing up. And then I think that helped me get out of my shell. And then from then on, I just got into dance. Like dance just seemed so cool. It was just so fun. I feel like maybe like there's something about moving my body and like allowing emotion to take over, which was fascinating for me. You know, I think when you grow up, you start to find different facets about yourself that are interesting, that make you feel alive. And I feel like that was a strong entry point, like just acting and dancing colliding together. And then just pushing me towards a direction of like storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Is there anything, you know, you're such a creative person, obviously, with all these, like, you know, you've done stage, TV, movies, you know, music, dance. Is there anything that fills your cup more than the other, or do they all fill like different compartments of your creative fulfillment? You know what I mean?
I think acting does it for me.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just that's what really fully makes me, pushes me into like another level of my art and even discovering who I am. In terms of dance, like dance is cool too. Like, I mean, I still love doing it. I haven't really done it professionally in a while, but just, you know, I still have the desire to, and I think that will always be there. But just storytelling through embodying different kinds of characters is just, has always been my jam. You know, I don't necessarily have to create these characters, but just to help other people tell their stories. Yeah, that does it for me.
That's awesome. Wow. As someone who would love to learn how to, like, I can't follow choreography a lot of the time, but I love moving my body and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why I like the TikTok and kind of like the, like, people dances. It's like so interesting to me, because like I was so shy growing up that I was like, oh, you know, I'm half Filipino. All my Filipino friends are like incredible dancers. And I had like kind of like an aversion to that, being like, no, I'm not like the other Filipino boys, you know?
Yeah. But you wanted to inside. You're like, I want to move.
But like, then I would like make fun of them, and they'd be like, you know, you're just dancing now. And I'm like, oh, dang, really? It's in my blood.
Your Filipino blood comes out, and it's like, oh, that actually looks pretty good.
Like, oh, dang, I'm kind of swaggy in this. Yeah.
La, speaking of swag, can you just ask this fly question for me, please?
Yeah, dude. So, well, I've met you on like a couple red carpets in the past, like just like random, you know, AAPI events, and you dress so well. If you take a look at this dude's Instagram, you dress so good. Where do you get your style from? Like what inspires you, and how, like, you know, portray yourself out in the world?
Man, I don't know. I think it's just, there's really nothing that makes, I think it's just like, if I feel good in whatever I'm wearing, then it's good. Like, I think it's all about how something fits on you, not necessarily like what it is. So it could be just like some garbage piece of t-shirt, but if it fits good on you, then like, I'm all about the fit.
Yeah.
I think, and sometimes if I want to take risks, if I feel like there's a piece of clothing that I'm like, man, I don't think this will look good on me, then I'll wear it until it feels like it feels good on me.
Interesting.
Wow. And then it'll be like, oh, okay. Yeah. I like this piece, but I don't think there's necessarily something that's like that out there that I'm like trying to gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Oh, that looks cool.
That's interesting. And,
I want to wear it.
Yeah.
I like that. That's so freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look good, feel good.
I was going to say, I'm a big silhouette guy. Like if my silhouette looks cool in a fit, I'm like, okay, that's like I'm jamming with that. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, Ash.
You're welcome.
I needed to know.
I got you, fam. But your whole silhouette during Ba, like, dude, that it took me a while to get through the film. Like, I noticed I had to like pause and keep going. Cause it's kind of like a thick film, if that makes sense. Like, it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's an easy watch. I wouldn't say it's a hard watch, but I think I found myself pausing to process a lot of this stuff. And I wanted to ask you too, like, I noticed obviously, like, you're a very embodied person, right? Like, do you take, like, do you have to go and take a dance break every once in a while? Like, how did you physically and mentally get yourself through this character and putting yourself in their shoes? I don't feel like it'd be the easiest.
Well, first of all, thank you for watching it. Like, it means a lot that you guys took the time to watch the film. I mean, I think to embody the character physically is just to I think it's just to think about his inability to touch people. Like he can't be close to his daughter, and what it's like to not be able to hold somebody or to have any friendships because, like, the possibility of making somebody pass away. And it's just, I guess it's just, it's interesting because we shot this during COVID, and the fact that, yeah, so it was crazy to play an Asian character because this was during, like, all, like, the Asian hate crimes that were going on, and to shoot this during that time and during COVID was interesting because it sort of went hand in hand with this character, Asian American family, and this guy being unable to be close to people and, like, having to stay away. So just being in that environment that was already happening around me, around everybody, was easy to sort of latch onto, and also the costume definitely helps. Just being in hiding, hiding who you are, like, as an Asian person at that time, hiding, the Asian American identity, just being quiet, like, nobody notices or nobody sees.
You know, it's interesting. Her name's Kai, right? You're the girl. She was very sweet. I remember meeting her at a carpet, and I loved kind of the chemistry that you guys developed, especially all the, like, the flashback scenes. I
Oh,
love all
yeah.
that, like, whatever you want to call it, like, phone footage or whatever. Those things felt very, like, real. And I remember listening to, like, an interview of yours with Benjamin, and it was something like, having a kid is like ripping your heart out and putting it into someone else. And I loved hearing that. That's such a powerful statement. Oh, I was just gonna say, how has your outlook on family and,
Oh, yeah. It's
just, like, how has it changed?
Yeah, it's crazy because, obviously I'm not a dad, so I had no idea how to play this role. Usually every character you sort of try to find, like, what that base note is, and I think that was a base note of this guy. It was just now part of my heart is in somebody else. It's like ripped apart and it's in this person, and what I can do, all the sacrifices that I have to make, like, despite all the things that he's going through to persevere. But obviously now, like, it does make me think about what it is to have a family, all the things that come along with, like being a good dad. And even if you're trying your best, it's still, there's still that possibility of you not being enough. And that's such a tough pill to swallow, but in terms of, like, me thinking about having a family down the line, I think about that. And but also, it makes me think about my relationship with my parents differently too.
Definitely.
I've always acknowledged, like, the sacrifices that they've made so that I can do what I want to do, but doing a film like this and really having really caring for this person, like, I can't imagine how my parents feel when when I was growing up and doing crazy shit or, like, running around not calling them, like, just stuff like that. It makes me think of, like, oh man, they must have gone through so much.
Totally. Yeah.
Fuck, guys, this is the first time I've cried on this podcast.
Oh,
Oh
no.
no, it's just
I
like
mean, yay, but no.
no, keep going, keep going.
Cry, cry, cry,
No,
cry.
dude, like, I guess that's why part of it hits so hard. Fuck. Let's break down this movie right now. I am personally at an age where I'm going through, like, with my husband, what our family's gonna look like, and kind of in the process of planning. And what you just said about, like, fuck, like, taking your heart out, putting in another person, then not being able to like touch them or care for them or all these things. Like, dude, that is like earth shattering. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, well, ask some questions.
Well, no, it's you know what's that's like kind of the overarching thing is just like, how far would you go just to, you know, be with that person one more time, you know? And it's a haunting film, like really, like in some cases, literally in the movie. Right. But when you're thinking about, I don't know, you mentioned being Asian American representation and stuff like that. I personally, you know, I'm an advocate for it, but then the conversation feels like it gets stale sometimes, you know, we're all saying the same things, and then an original story comes out like this. You know what I like about this, I was telling Ash, is like, yes, it's this grounded story about a father and his goals, but then also supernatural elements are in there. Like, we want original storytelling, right? Why do you think a film like this helps advocate for our community and our representation more than just saying those words and doing all this generational trauma, like centric kind of content, or not content, but productions, you know what I mean?
You know, because it's just a genuine story about a father and daughter. It doesn't have, they don't have to be Asian, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's just seeing an Asian family on screen. We're not talking about it.
Yeah.
And utilizing genre to tell the story. I think it's so interesting. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen a film like this, and just the opportunity to be able to play like a part like this, you know, they're just so far and few in between. And, yeah. So I think it speaks volumes, just the story. Like, mm-hmm. we don't have to be saying like, hey, like we're Asian,
yeah.
or like, hey, this is what Asian people like, it's just a normal story. Yeah. It just so happens that, you know, like, we get to tell it during a time when like COVID was happening and all this Asian hate was happening too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's not like a 15-minute explanation of what a Holo Holo is in the video. It's so great. Like, I really saw you shine. Like, I've seen a lot of the mm-hmm. other stuff you do, and some of it is like supplementing storylines and helping other characters and stuff and supporting roles. But like, man, I saw this is your moment, man. Like, this was awesome. And I love what you just said. Like, it's a universal story. It's a father and son story. I think anybody with a family or anybody who loves someone is going to really like, also like the Midas touch thing, right? Like, we learn about that as kids. Like, it's something we all kind of understand on a little bit of a level. But the story about death, I think, like, is kind of universal, right? Like, it's a global story. And I think every kind of culture or country or any kind of place has their story about, like, these are stories about death. This is the culture of death where we're from. These are how we experience death and how we move through it. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of go through, like, what have you seen in the festival circuit? Like, you were just in Brazil, like, their understanding of death, or the way they intake it, like the death experience or something. Have you seen any of that in your travel?
Yeah. How are people reacting?
I mean, people really enjoy the film in Brazil. I remember like someone asking a question about like why we chose to personify death in this kind of way. And I think it was just this kind of lore that we chose to talk about death. But I haven't really experienced I guess that their culture I haven't really, I don't know the exact answer to that, but I do feel like they relate. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like, I feel like we all have different ways of like understanding it. And I think, even though it was something that was unfamiliar to them, they still were able to like comprehend
and embrace it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I think there's like strong visual language too. One, it's I love the lighting in this. Like, whoever your DP was, crushed.
Yeah, they did such a good job. And like the thing is, like, they made it look like it was a bigger budget than what it was.
It looks big.
I would have never been able to tell. That's wild.
Yeah, can I ask about kind of that low budget nature of it? Just because, you know, this is proof that you don't need a shit ton of money to make a good film, right? Like, but when you come at it at like an indie kind of from an indie background, and you're building out a story and a look like this to play in cinema, I mean, making a feature film is a feat in itself, but making it look good and sound good and have good performances is a whole other thing. So in terms of your role, like, yes, you are an actor, but did you see yourself getting involved and wearing multiple hats in this production in order to kind of like push it along?
No, not necessarily. I think I put that hat on, mm-hmm. You know, I did the best that I could to, I guess, elevate the project through the acting. And, you know, when you're number one on the call sheet, you know, you just got to be on top of your game, yeah. Especially with, a shoot like this, you know, we didn't have that many days. And so like every minute counted. The producers, they did a great job. I feel like they executed the best that they could, you know, with the allotted time and the amount of money that we had. You know, obviously, if we had more money, man, we could have expanded this universe and then gone into more specific details about, you know, the lore. And
The lore itself. Yeah, definitely. What can I ask, just as you are in this festival circuit, and you're trying to find distribution and get it to a wider audience, what are some of the challenges that you're seeing and some of the successes? Generally speaking, what have you seen work, and what has been harder than you expected it to be, maybe?
You know, the festival circuit is so interesting. There's so many things that go into it. Like, I feel like they're, you know, like, just to be frank, like, there are so many politics that go into, like, like everything. And just like, you know, it's just been interesting to navigate. You know, I'm not one of the producers, but, you know, I just hear from the things that the struggles that, you know, that we've been going through and stuff like that. You know, it's interesting. We're trying to get into Asian American festivals, and it's even like, you know, we're having a difficult time doing that too. That's so and bizarre. It's just interesting because it's like, I think people see the movie, and they probably immediately think like, oh, this is a horror film. Like, you look at the poster, it's like, you know, like, do we want to put this on the slate? You know, like, but I think if people really genuinely like watch the movie, they would understand that it's so much deeper and so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's so nuanced.
Yeah, and it's just for us, you know, I want the opportunity for people to watch it is just, you know, I hope that is on the horizon. We have a lot more festivals that we're going to be showing at, so like I'm excited about that. But yeah, you know, I also do want the community to watch it, you know. Totally. We do this for the audience, everybody, but you know, I care about my community, and I want to share what we made with them.
You got to show up. That's how we support each other, right? You go watch these things when they're available to watch, because I don't know, that sends the message. And you get to tell people about the cool experience that you had, right? And there's nothing cooler than like watching something collectively, like in a dark room, big screen, you know, in a nerd cave even. but yeah, I definitely hope the best in that process for sure.
Oh, we'll wrap up soon, but I gotta ask, man, like, it's such a refreshing film. Like you guys are saying, like, you shot this during COVID, and you can tell like there's so much originality into it, and we haven't seen a story like this. And I love that, like, this sort of like Midas touch, like universal theme was integrated into, I don't know, man, it's just so refreshing. And I just appreciated an original story, like you guys are saying, and just the way this was shot on an indie budget and everything during COVID, when no one's like outside and stuff. So incredible. I do want to know, like you were saying, you're number one on the call sheet, right? And for people who don't know what that is, it's the biggest actor in the, whatever it may be, a TV series, film or whatever, you're first in the call sheet. You're just listed as like number one, I guess, kind of. But for people who are aspiring to kind of do what you do, be in all these different like TV shows and film, like, you have such an incredible meaty career that I'd love to get into another day. But Can you give some advice on like how you, because you're a leader in many ways, like every department has their lead or their head, right? Like if you're number one on the call sheet, you are the lead of your department in several ways, right? Like can you kind of guide us through like how you what your responsibility felt like and kind of what you went through?
Putting story as the main center point, you know, like story is king, and just having that spread through all departments, you know, everyone's coming together to like building this engine to push this story forward. So like despite all the hiccups, despite all the, you know, the difficult changes that, you know, that you always have to make when you're shooting something, you know, you just sort of roll with it. It's like I think it's important to like just be positive, you know, to shift when you need to shift, and just to utilize like different hiccups that happen throughout to like help elevate the story. So like I think everything is in story, and just allowing that to push you forward and everything that you do, you know, if you're an aspiring actor, someone that wants to get into the field, you know, just utilize that as your base. You know, I think if you think about everything else, if you think about like, I don't know, getting followers or becoming famous, or you know, you're it's not gonna be a it's gonna be a short journey, and there will be no longevity in it. You know, you have to really love doing what you're doing, and then like let that guide you.
It's a very
Oh man.
humble and good answer to that question. I
I
appreciate you
love
sharing.
that. Story is the answer to everything. I love that.
Yeah. Well, like Ash said, I'm sure we could continue talking to you for a while, but you know, something that we like to do at the end of our episodes is pass the mic to you. And so you gave us some great advice just now, but this is your opportunity, you know, plug what you need to. What do you have going on in your life? Is there anything else that you'd want to share with our listeners on our little platform? We want to give you a soapbox to stand on. So whatever you would like to say, take it away.
Absolutely nothing going on. I had a mold issue in my house.
No.
Oh man, that's a big deal
Oh,
though.
it was big. Slowly. What am I even saying? This is so stupid. I'm not even sharing value. Yeah, I don't know. Just try to find things that make you happy and do them. Like, and they don't necessarily have to be career related. I think it's important to slow down time just to be present, especially with the people around you. And
Yeah, that's great right there. Me,
that's all
disregard
I
all the
needed to hear
bullshit.
that.
Get rid of
Yeah.
the mold. Get rid of the mold and the bullshit. I like that. I like that.
Oof.
Now, just as we wrap, where how can we support Ba? How can our listeners support Ba? Where can we find more information? Where to screen it at festivals and stuff? Yeah, hit us.
I guess most of our information will be on our Instagram. I think it is, yeah, Ba underscore feature underscore film. It'll give you information as to where we'll be, and obviously on like you know on my social media too. I am Lawrence Cao. I'll probably just like throw down information if anything comes out. But yeah, like try to come out to screenings if they happen in your area.
Well, thank you, Lawrence, for your time. I appreciate you being
You
here.
guys. Thank
Yeah.
you guys so much. Yeah, it was such a pleasure chatting with you guys. Thank you for taking the time too to talk to me about stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. This is so fun. I like, dude, truly, I really enjoyed watching this film. I can't wait for other people to watch it too.
Yeah. And then we can do another podcast about when it gets picked up, because it's good
Yeah.
stuff, man. It's really good stuff. Y'all should be very, very proud of what you created here.
The Tremendous Talk podcast is produced by Lawrence Sharma, Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, Gabriela David, Joseph Feralde, and Jeremiah Abraham in collaboration with Tremendous. The Tremendous Talk podcast jingle is by Jared Sanchez and Ashley Rapuano Sanchez, produced at Hamsterdam Records.